Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 160 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everyone? What's up, Tristan? Episode 160, who we got?
We got Fit Man Cook, man, Kevin Curry.
Yeah, man. Harvard alum. This guy's doing big things straight out of Texas, inspiring people from the plates.
Yeah, and it's great to see that he's actually, you know, he comes from the heart because it's a personal experience. You know, he was a gentleman that was overweight, and he's had his own battles, both mentally and physically, and for him to turn the corner and, you know, just the evolve of Fit Man Cook is just brilliant.
Yeah, guys, if you're listening at home and you're looking for one of these people that, you know, to follow, to listen to, that's been through it, that's gone through the turmoils, the trials and tribulations of being unhealthy, getting fit, getting healthy, and now inspiring people, Kevin Curry is the guy to do.
Yeah, very down-to-earth guy for someone with a million followers on Instagram. But I think in terms of him, he uses it the right way. The education he puts out to people, his meals are so easy to make, and they look, when you look at a picture of one of his meals, you go, this is going to be complicated as hell. But then when he breaks it down, so easy.
Yeah, and also too, like what he's doing, like I think right now with social media, everybody just wants to stand above the rest. And I think when we do that, that could complicate things. Mm. We want to like add all these edits or a lot of like hire a production team. Kevin does all of that by himself and he does it really well. And it's go to his Instagram. You'll see his YouTube channel. It's him cooking. And it's crazy that he created that space. Like no one was doing it and no one's doing it like him.
Yeah, it's a very unique space. Before we get Kevin on the show, just a big shout out to everyone listening and tuning in and leaving us 5-star reviews on iTunes.
160 episodes, guys. We appreciate you, man. Those subscriptions, those reviews, sharing it with your friends, all the messages we get, we say thank you.
Yeah, definitely. It's it's a credit to you guys for tuning in. And please tag us on any social media posts or send us an email at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com if you've got any feedback or people that you want to see on the show.
Yeah, guys, and this is an apology, and we're just being real. Tristan and I are a two-man army. We get a lot of messages from people inquiring if we haven't responded to you or if we can't fit you on. It's nothing personal, man. We're just trying to grind and chop away.
All right, without further ado, here is the Fit Man Cook, Kevin Curry. All right, guys, our special guest is Kevin Curry. Kevin is the founder of Fit Man Cook, providing healthy and tasty recipes for men and women around the world. He has a great story, starting with his own personal struggles with weight gain, and now spreads his message to help educate and better people in healthy eating and living. We welcome Kevin Curry. Kevin, welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, man.
What's going on, guys? Thank you so much for having me. Howdy from Texas.
Yeah, Kevin. Tristan and I, we really appreciate you sharing this space with us. And like Tristan just mentioned, you had your own journey and now you're sharing it and you're inspiring people to better themselves. Could you share with us maybe some insights when you were, you know, before you were getting healthy, what the biggest struggles were to get on the right path?
Absolutely. I think the biggest struggle for me was just the food. I had hired trainer after trainer to help me out, and they would put me on these cookie cutter plans of just chicken breast and brown rice and broccoli or green beans. And being from the South here in Texas, food is really important. You know, growing up African American too, food is a huge staple in our homes. This is the way that we show love. And so I love food. And the reality was I just could not get my mind around eating the exact same thing every single day. And so that came as a consequence of my health because I just couldn't control myself. So the biggest struggle that I had was actually just trying to find out if healthy eating could be a lot more tasty.
Yeah, we have these conversations quite often with our clients. We're both coaches. Was this something because of the lack of variety of foods you were choosing to eat? Was it the lack of knowledge? Was it opportunity?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. It was a combination of all those things. It was a lack of knowledge about foods. It was a lack of variety because of the lack of knowledge. And it was just, you know, and a lack of experience in the kitchen. So I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know much about food. I didn't know much about nutrition. And so when you compound all those things together, it's very daunting for people who are really trying to eat better and to better their lives because they don't know where to start. And that was my thing. I just did not know where to start until one day I just kind of hit my own proverbial rock bottom. Somebody posted this photo on Facebook of me, and I was like, wow, I just cannot believe that I've let myself go that much. And then I went back to a trainer, and they were going to charge me about $600 just for 4 weeks of training. And I was thinking, you know what? I just need to really get serious about it and stop this weight cycling, going through periods of whereby I'll diet for a certain amount of time, and then I'll gain the weight back. I was tired of that. So I had hit my bottom. And so what I did was I went to this store for, it was called Half Price Books, and you can get books for cheap. And I just bought every single book they had there about nutrition. And I just began to read about foods and diets. And I just went into the kitchen, turned the lights on, and began cooking.
Kevin, who taught you how to cook?
Myself. You know, growing up, both my parents can cook. From the South, we had a lot of soul food. Plus, I'm in Texas, so Mexican food is a huge part of my diet. Mm. But I didn't know I really had to cook all those things. Yeah. So I taught myself how to cook. It was out of complete desperation.
And, you know, coming from down South, like, I was listening to a couple of podcasts that you've been on. You attended Harvard, right?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I did. And that was part of the reason, too. When I hit my rock bottom, it was one of those moments where I was thinking, like, you know what? I'm paying this guy close to $1,000. And if he can figure it out by reading a book and had some discipline, then surely I can do the same. And that was part of the indignation, or, you know, the fact that, like, I was doing something that, like, I knew better. But I didn't know better at the time because I didn't know about foods, but I knew better than just to keep on spending money that way. So I told myself, if somebody else can figure it out by just reading a book and by going to school for it, then surely I can too. And so I taught myself how to cook. I taught myself about diet and nutrition. And then I began to share that stuff online. Now, I will tell you both that the FitMagnet community is very large now, and people use it as a resource. And it didn't start out that way. It wasn't this altruistic journey to help people out. The reality was I still put on my little Harvard hat, and I was thinking, how can I get free training advice? And so I thought about if I could journal my entire experience online. And basically, I could crowdsource my diet so I could get people like you to read what I was eating and say, hey, you know what? This looks like a great meal. Try this as well. Or eat more of this and less of that. And so I was really just trying to crowdsource my diet from knowledgeable people out there and get free training advice.
Yeah.
And what I realized that there are tons of more people out there just like me who are tired of cookie cutter plans, who want variety. And so it is basically me just sharing my journey and the things that I was reading and learning along the way, and the community grew.
Kev, in terms of trying to find a good coach, and, you know, you're helping a lot of people now, you know, you had a few probably bad experiences with some personal trainers. In terms of maybe for people listening out there looking for a good trainer, what qualities do you see?
I love this question. I don't think that I get, you know, like, ask this enough, but a couple of things, especially in this day and age. One thing that I would look for is I would look for somebody who was very consistent. In this social media age, you want to make sure that the person that you're going to isn't necessarily a huge social media celebrity, because that means that there's less time that they can really dedicate to you for that one-on-one training, if that's what you really are looking for. And also that their goals may not be necessarily aligned with yours, meaning that they're trying to become much larger and you're just trying to achieve your wellness goals. So one thing that I would look at is just, like, what is the narrative of that trainer? Are they more focused on becoming famous, or are they more focused on their clients? Another thing is that I would be careful of trainers who have a lot of clients. because that does also bleed over into the fact that you don't have a lot more of the individual care. One thing that I've seen too, and this is a great thing, is that when people lose some weight, all of a sudden they become a life coach or a trainer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would actually also kind of look at their history, and you want people who have a narrative of health and wellness. It's okay if their journey was born out of something else, but so long as it's like, for instance, if I'm trying to get a six pack, if you're trying to get a six pack abs, go with a trainer who's actually had a six pack abs before, because oftentimes you can't really help where if you've never been there before, particularly when it comes to weight loss, because there are tons of other factors to consider besides just the food and the training, but just the psychological factor and people's mental barriers to eating. And so you've got to have people who can speak to that. And then I also think that you should find people who can complement your lifestyle. I think oftentimes, particularly now, you'll see a lot of people who are into bodybuilding and into these competitions, and they will be a trainer. Oftentimes, that's not congruent with the average Joe and the average Jane, those types of diets and lifestyles, because they're very aggressive. Yes, you will get results. They're very aggressive, but they're oftentimes not sustainable. And so it can be pretty disenchanting for that person who just wants to, hey, you know what? I just want to lose a couple pounds, feel good, understand a little bit more about health and wellness. So make sure that the trainer that you're selecting is going to be able to complement your lifestyle as well.
Yeah, Kevin, I'll never forget when I first moved to Australia. I'm sitting down at a restaurant, and the first thing I noticed were the portions. And initially, coming from America, I was kind of offended. I was like, man, these portions are so tiny. They're so small. And then the first time, I think it was a year, I went back to America, and I'm in LA, and it was like the flip-flop. I'm thinking, oh my God, these portions are so huge. And it was equally offensive. Like, why would the restaurant serve that big of a meal? So in regards to portion size and people listening at home, what are some advice on handling the portions for the person who's just getting started?
You know, this is a great question too. You know, portion size is something that we all struggle with, particularly here in the U.S. And there is a lot of education I have to do. Part of it is sometimes the plates that you use, I know it sounds really cookie cutter and really basic, but if you're using a large plate, oftentimes you try to fill up that plate. So I would go with smaller plates, about the 10-inch plates, if you have them. Those are actually, that's actually a normal meal size. One thing that I'll also help you out with portion control is eating regularly. When you eat regularly, about every 3 hours, even if it's a snack or so, then you'll understand that your body really can't take in all that food and that you don't feel well. So that translates into, okay, let me eat just enough for right now until I'm satisfied, because I'm going to eat again within 3 hours. So you kind of train your body, you train your mind to get ready for food on a regular basis. When it comes to women, I've heard like a lot of people like to use like their hand and their fist in terms of like the, like portion size. What I like to do whenever I'm designing my plate is I like to have at least 50% veggies on there. Just load up the plate with veggies, and they could be cooked veggies, they could be raw veggies, they could be, you know, steamed, whatever, but just have a significant portion of veggies on that plate, and then the rest you can split between protein and also carbs.
Kevin, in terms of behavior changes, you know, from yourself, you probably offer great because you've done it yourself personally. In terms of that first step from going from overweight to then being on the journey to something healthy, what was that first step?
The first step from going from overweight to being healthy. I think that first step was just realizing that I needed it and wanted to make a change. That was the first step for me. Realizing that I needed to change my entire lifestyle, and that because it was going to be a lifestyle change, that I needed to do this incrementally. So I set myself up for success by not trying to do everything at once. Okay. And I forgave myself for slipping up. And then what I also tried to do was, and this is part of the reason why I started my blog. I started it up under my middle name because I don't want my friends and family to find out I was trying to lose weight and laugh at me. But there was something special about that, because what I was really doing is I was putting a bubble around me so I could say, Kevin, I'm going to run my own race and I'm going to be focused on stuff for me. I'm not going to look at what anybody else is doing. I'm just going to be doing this for me. This is completely 100% for me. So that initial stage, it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to be selfish with yourself, because you really need to set yourself up for success. And you can't do that if you're constantly comparing yourself to what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, that's a very important issue as well. And we were talking about this off air about a lot of, so say we have clients and their goals are fat loss, and then you have the scale, you have the psychology of jumping on a scale and then equating how you feel to that number rather than identifying how you feel, you know, just feeling good, not connecting that to a number. When you were losing all the weight, was this happening to you? Were you getting on the scale, maybe initially feeling good, and then you didn't say the number you wanted and it would affect you?
Absolutely. I think that we all do that. You know, my mom just went through a pretty significant weight loss transformation herself, and she was lamenting the fact that every single day for 3 weeks, the scale was not changing, and she was so upset with her diet and everything else. And I told her, I said, but how are your clothes feeling? She's like, well, I've actually dropped 3 dress sizes. Start with that. And it changes your entire perspective. And so one thing that I tell people is that whenever you're really truly committed to this weight loss journey and to this wellness journey, just stop looking at the scale.
Yeah, man.
Look at vitals. If you've got, you know, the high blood pressure and things like that, look at those things, but stop looking at the scale. How are your clothes fitting? How do you even feel? You know, oftentimes you don't realize this. My mom said something, it was so profound. She didn't really hear herself. She's like, oh my God, I actually bent over today and I was putting on my shoes without any pain.
Yeah.
Like that. That's how you measure your success.
And it's crazy how, like, us as humans, we get so comfortable with being uncomfortable. And like your mother, she was probably wouldn't even have realized that pain until she, you know, started losing weight.
Correct. Yeah. It's because you become so accustomed to it.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting that we just kind of assimilate, you know, it could go both ways though.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
Hey, Kev, you brought up starting your blog, and that was back in 2012. You know, in hindsight now, have you had a chance to reflect on that first post?
Mm-hmm. I have, and I remember what it was. I think it was an oatmeal post. And, you know, when I first started, I had no idea that I'd be here today. Again, it was something that it was my own personal passion project that turned into something that was much larger. And looking back, I don't think that I would change anything, you know, the way that I went about it. Because I think that what you have with the Fit Man Cook community is purely authenticity, because it was started with that in mind.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to sell people anything. I just really wanted to just eat healthy. I was like everybody else listening to this podcast, just wanting to live a healthier and happier life. And food was my vehicle to go ahead and do that.
Let's talk about the simple words, Fit Men Cook. Is that, yeah. What are you saying with that? Are you saying like fit men, we cook? Or explain that to us and how you came up with it.
Yeah, right. You know, there wasn't a lot of thought put into that. I think that I was trying to change the name at the last minute for my Tumblr blog. And, you know, I was just thinking about the fact that there weren't a lot of resources out there for men in particular on like how to cook and then how to eat like healthy besides the cookie cutter plants that were already out there. And so it came from my frustration of working out 3 hours a day for about 1 year and not losing 1 pound and looking the exact same. And it was because my diet hadn't changed. So I realized that I can't out-train a poor diet, and food was about 80% of my struggle there. So in order to be fit, Kevin, you've got to cook your way fit. You've got to cook your way out of this rut. So Fit Men Cook. That's when I came up with it.
Have you ever read those studies about that it's been proven that if we cook our own foods because of the smells, that we eat less?
No, but you know, it's so funny that you say that. I've not read that study, but I agree with that. Every time I cook, I actually don't eat. I'm full.
Yeah. It, yeah, you should Google it. It came out, you know, I found the article because I was visiting Ohio and my mother, she's cooking for everybody. She's Italian. And I had this realization. I was like, Mom, I've never seen you sit down and eat. You're always just standing and cooking and kind of feeding everybody. So that's how I went down that rabbit hole. But it's pretty interesting. So I guess everyone listening, you know, start cooking your own food and studies show that you'll eat less.
Yeah, I agree with that. I never eat after I cook unless I'm really hungry after the gym and I haven't had anything, but that's it.
Hey, Kevin, let's talk about the production of Fit Man Cook because your videos are outstanding, man. Like, it's nearly like a TV style sort of thing that you put on your YouTube and Instagram, but the production quality is pretty very high. So in terms of, you know, we all have origin stories and I'm sure it's all kind of evolved over time, but, you know, do you have a production team? Like, what is the team behind Fit Man Cook?
You know, everything that you're saying right now on the web has been 100% me so far. In fact, it's just very special. Like this week, we actually have partnered with and hired our own video production company just to keep up with a lot of the projects and demand for other content. So, so far it's just been me doing it and it's been fairly easy to, you know, to manage just like any like YouTuber out there that, you know, they carry around their little pocket camera and they're vlogging. It's the same thing with me. I was just able to kind of, figure it out, put up a little tripod and, you know, and like go to work.
Yeah. Let's transition a little bit. We like picking the brains. You know, you've evolved this from scratch from the business side of things, Kevin. Talk about some lessons you've learned recently and how they've enabled you in your growth.
Yeah, you know, a couple things just for people out there, especially vloggers now, I think that's really popular. One of the ways that people try to get like income, I guess, is just by getting a whole bunch of views and whatnot. Mm-hmm. What I've learned with Fit Man Cook, and one of the reasons why I think I've had a lot of success, a lot more than some other people who are in food and healthy food, rather, is that I think I'm a pretty good storyteller. And whereby, like, I basically, Fit Man Cook is my journey in food, and I'm falling in love with food and fitness every single day. And I try to share that with my followers. So it's not necessarily selling a product or that is just showing a lifestyle. So one of the business lessons that I've learned for people out there is that if you can become really good in storytelling and attaching that to brands, you know, in particular, that can be a very proven way to get a lot of income. Brands are looking for people who can take the narrative of their product and weave it into their everyday lives, going beyond just the, hey, guys, take this protein. It's really good. And moving forward to this is a, you know, like one thing I like to do is to start every morning with protein because it's XYZ benefits and blah, blah, blah. And it helps me to empower me to do this. This is why I love this. You know, this quick recipe with the protein because it's that's much more of a story that people can connect with. It's much more authentic and genuine, and brands can connect with that as well. So from a business standpoint, that plays very well. And it's something that, again, the Fit Man Cook is just that's just like what it is. It's just a big story and narrative and food. Another thing that I think that I've learned along the way is the importance of having your own thing. I think we've come now to this stage, Fit Man Cook is like a, I guess, a critical mass. Got great revenue from the app and brand partnerships, but now we're moving, and then also an upcoming book, which I'm really happy about. Now moving into another territory, which is to actually own something and that have it beyond, you know, t-shirts and paraphernalia. How can you create products that are very thoughtful based off your journey, based off of what you've been quote unquote selling this whole time in social media. So one thing that's been a challenge for me is how do I go from social media and traditional media right into your households every single day? And that's what we are exploring right now through products.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. Cause I remember Tristan and I were brainstorming before almost 2 years ago before we started the show and we couldn't figure out a name and, you know, we landed on the vision board. But with Fit Man Cook, you had me thinking you could go Fit Man Cook plant-based, Fit Man Cook meat eater. You have so many different options that if you wanted to develop like certain products specifically for like a niche. Have you done that with any of this yet? Other than the specific men?
Yeah, you know, we We dabbled a little bit in the seasonings, and we did a Kickstarter for that. That did amazingly well, and people responded very well to it. The thing that we are incubating now, I can go ahead and announce, is we are incubating meal prep delivery. It's been done already, of course, but we're doing it in a little bit of a different way. And then also experimenting with some, with some restaurants. So I'm very excited. Those are things that kind of keep me up at night. So you should be looking for those pretty soon.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Yeah, let's explore that. You know, food prep's a huge thing, especially in our industry at the moment. Like, in terms of your own advice for food prep, what is it?
Yeah, funny you ask. I'll answer this in two ways. The first way is food prep is just being able to make food in bulk. So that way you have food readily available. One of the main reasons why I failed it in my wellness journey early on when I was trying to out-train a poor diet was I didn't have food ready for me to go. I wasn't prepping my lunch. I didn't have food after the gym when I was really hungry. So I would reach for those things that were accessible, which was fast food. And my body and my wellness goals just never changed. So meal prep, a healthy meal prep rather, is having that food at arm's length whenever you're ready to eat it so that it keeps you on track for your wellness goals. You set aside just a little bit of time each week to prep a couple meals, and then you can put them in the fridge or you can freeze part of them, and then you're good to go. That's something that like I've been preaching for the pretty much the entire life of the Fit Man Cook journey. The second way I'll tell you about this is actually on August 3rd, we are launching a brand new app, and it hasn't been announced yet. And it's a meal prep app, and it's something that has not been seen before. The Fit Man Cook app did amazingly well. It's still doing very well on both the iPhone and Android platform. But this new app takes meal prep one step further, allowing you to basically prep for two people. It walks you through the entire process. It's goal-based, so you can do it for whether you're trying to lose weight or to gain muscle. You have all those things. And I'm pretty excited because Apple saw the app and they got a preview of it. And they loved it. They loved it so much that they're already sharing it with their press. So I'm really excited for that launch to come. And then the upcoming book that I have is all about meal prep. I really wanted to write a piece of literature that could be seen as like the meal prep Bible. So people have a one-stop shop, one source that they can go to understand what meal prep is, understand how to do it, what are the pitfalls with meal prep, and then what are tons of recipes that they can get started with today in the kitchen.
All right, Kevin, and is there, you know, from your experience, and what would you recommend, are there foods that stay better than other foods? And then is there a requirement of time to not allow, like, because I know guys that will meal prep 5-6 days, and a good friend of mine, like for 5-6 days in advance and then freeze it and then heat it. And a good friend of mine, she's a Eastern medicine doctor, and she talks about how food has chi and food has essence and energy. So is there a certain window that you would say that, you know, don't sit on the food that long, eat it within this certain amount of days?
Definitely 5 days would be the absolute max. You know, early on, I used to do the 5-day meal prep. Now I do 2- and 3-day meal preps because I just think it's just much easier. And also the food is fresher. And then also it sets you up for success because one of the common complaints that I hear from followers across the world is that, you know, after the 3rd or 4th day, they're just tired of that meal. They're tired of eating the same thing. So the amount of time actually would be the same. It would take you, like, for instance, let's say that you wanted to prep your lunch. It would take you about 1 hour, hour and a half max on a Sunday to put together your lunch and to prep that for 3 days. So all you have to do is just prep, is take just one more hour during the week to prep for the rest of the week. And so you have two different meals and you are set up for success even through the weekend, because you can do Monday through Wednesday and then Thursday through Saturday. And then Sunday you're prepping again. So there, so it doesn't require that much time. It just requires some effort. Anything that you do is going to require effort. Even if you wanted to start the fitness route and start training in the gym, that requires effort. You have to get up off the couch. But I can tell you this one thing that I've learned. If I were a gambling person and you wanted to put some money on which way is the best way to go, I would put my money on the food. If you can get the food right and you can get your diet right, the weight's going to fall off you.
Kevin, in terms of cooking, you know, we all sometimes, I like to cook with coconut oil, put some olive oil on my salads and things like that. What's your own recommendations in terms of cooking with oils and things like that, man?
Yeah, I like to cook with minimal oils. Sometimes if I use the oil, I like to use it as a salad dressing, only because oftentimes across the board, I think that we can all like overcook the food, and sometimes we'll end up frying the food and you fry out a lot of the nutrients with it. So a couple of the oils that I like to use, of course, would be olive oil, coconut oil, and then also avocado oil. The thing I like about avocado oil is it has a pretty high cook point. So you can actually almost kind of faux fry things in the skillet. But again, you run that risk sometimes if you overcook the product in there, and then you can burn out some of the nutrients in there. But oils in cooking are definitely okay. You want to use them sparingly. One way that you can use them sparingly is by using nonstick skillets. Nonstick skillets allow you to use basically a fraction of the oil. You could just use a teaspoon of oil in them oftentimes, and you could fry up or you can cook an entire meal. And it also requires that you cook at a much lower temperature, because if you cook at a really high temperature on the nonstick skillets, then you will end up messing up that coating on there. And so your food will begin to stick to it.
You mentioned we were chatting business, and you know, it's good to hear these insights. Like, I'm really intrigued about your vlog and how I like people who start things. You know, you create something, you watch it grow. But and you're very optimistic, man. Your energy is very infectious. But share with us some frustrations. We all get frustrated. Let's stick specifically with the fitness and wellness space, and we can be as optimistic as possible. But what are some of the things that frustrate you right now with where the industry is?
Yeah. Oh man, I could talk for hours on this. thank you for pushing me. This is a really interesting chat, because I usually don't talk about things like this.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Because I do like to keep it kind of. But a couple of things actually frustrate me. I think that for one, I think that the way that they market products to consumers, we market with unrealistic expectations oftentimes, and so they will take we take these chiseled bodies and we shove it down people's throats as if this is what health and wellness looks like. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, oftentimes, because I've actually tried bodybuilding and modeling workouts, you actually don't feel that great on there. It is a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of just sacrifice from lots of things, from socializing, from the different types of meals and the foods. And so I personally think that, you know, that stuff is great for a competition, but marketing that as a healthy lifestyle, I don't agree with that. And I have to do a little bit of level setting when people come and try to work with me, like, hey, I want to look like this. Well, let me tell you right now, that person's diet, it looks nothing like the diet that you want. And their training looks nothing like the type of training that you want. That is not to say that it's not attainable, but it's just the fact that we just spend so much time on that. I also think that I'm pretty frustrated too, that the industry, like, everybody now is an expert on things. We have experts on food, we have experts on training, and the reality is a lot of people aren't. They just have a great physique. But the industry is based off of numbers and followers and things like that. So the people that actually are putting out quality content that I find on a daily basis, they aren't the ones that are elevated.
Yeah.
The ones elevated are the ones who are doing backflips in gyms, yeah, and stands on like BOSU balls. That doesn't really help anybody. Man. What does that do? And yep. then you have close, and then you also have the people who just want to do a close up of their biceps rippling and the veins everywhere. Yep. Yeah, and like, well, that's not helping the person who actually really wants it, which is great because yes, in some sense, I'm not saying that that's not motivational. It can be motivational for many people, but in terms of getting down and actually adding content, like what are you actually contributing? What is that core piece that you're contributing, that you're helping somebody with? That's the piece that kind of frustrates me because I think that we kind of miss the mark that way. Mm.
Kev, just last topic before we kind of move to the personality part of the interview. We've just down in Australia just recently, you know, we've been, you know, heavily kind of studying and just looking at men's mental health. In terms, I know you've had your own personal battles. Do you mind if we open up on that just a little bit now?
Sure.
Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, yesterday, the gentleman from Linkin Park, he passed away. Mm. And, you know, we all have different...
Chester.
We all have different battles. And just from your own perspective, you know, I know it's an ongoing sort of thing that you're always trying to deal with. In terms of you handling it yourself, have you got any advice that you can kind of share with us?
Yeah. It's a brilliant question. It's something that I'm actually going to be sharing with my followers in an upcoming YouTube video. But, you know, I've seen a huge correlation between like health and wellness and depression in terms of like bodybuilding, maybe up to depression, because I feel like oftentimes people will use the health and wellness journey to anesthetize a lot of the pain that, you know, that's in their life. And so the more hate that they get, the more the bad things happen. Yeah, that's going to really power me through this workout. And we end up kind of burying a lot of the feelings, you know, that are going on inside of us. So the first piece of advice that I have for anyone out there that struggles with like depression, and despondency is to first know that you're not alone. Your situation is not unique. There are about 1 in 4 people struggle with this. And just understanding that, realize that your situation is not as bleak as, you know, as what it can seem. The second thing, you know, that I did was I got perspective. I stopped trying to self-diagnose myself and try to figure out like what was going on. And I went to talk to somebody. It can be a counselor. It can be a close friend, just someone that you trust, that you can be completely transparent with, because it is important that you just kind of hear yourself talk through things. Even if a person doesn't say anything back, there's a lot of power in just beginning to just to hear yourself talk about things that are going on within your life, because you're not keeping them all like bottled up. The third thing that I did was I actually got up and got active. I know it sounds kind of crazy, because even if you are like well and you're active, but you got to do something for yourself. So for me, that was getting up in the morning and walking my dog. That gave me a lot of pleasure, because it was my own time for myself and my own thoughts, and just to get active. And I just to look forward to the day. I wasn't going to, oftentimes we can develop this routine that actually encourages depression. So for me, that was just getting up and being really low and just dragging my feet. No, I said, you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk around the neighborhood. I'm going to get my little green smoothie. I'm going to walk the dog, and I'm going to get ready for the day. And that really helped me out. Another thing is, may sound kind of weird, but Fit Man Cook really helped to save my life. And it saved my life by doing this. It saved my life by showing me that I had a much larger purpose, because I felt good when I could post a recipe online and people respond back to me from across the world and say, hey, you know what? I tried the recipe. I loved it. So I could be connected to the value that I was creating. So the takeaway for this person listening is not necessarily you go and start your own blog, but get involved in something that's much larger than you, where you are giving back to somebody else. You're getting involved with your local community. You're helping out a nonprofit. Get involved where you are directly impacting someone else's life to show you how much value that you actually have in this world.
Yeah, we really appreciate you letting us in on that, and thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to the personality part. Johnny's got the first question.
Yeah, Kevin, normally I would ask a question about, you know, advice on bad days, but we've already covered that. Let's flip that. What's a great day look like in the world of Kevin Curry?
Are you for real?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Let's hear about what makes you tick. What's a great day look like?
Man, I tell you what, a great day for me is a day off where I actually get up and everything is already done. I don't really have any major tasks. I can just check my email. I can go to the gym. And I can binge watch internet TV.
My man, see? Keeping it simple.
What are you watching, Kev?
I watch a lot of shows, man. I've been into House of Cards.
Oh, yes.
You know, of course, Game of Thrones, the new Insecure series that's coming out. I watch a lot of shows that maybe I may not say right now.
Did you watch Stranger Things?
You know, I tried to get into that. I couldn't get past episode 3.
Oh, come on.
Everybody keeps saying it's so wonderful. Yeah. So I really wanted to love it. I was like, yeah, it's going to be great. I watched it. I fell asleep. All right. Kevin tried this again.
No.
I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
I tried. I gave it 3 episodes. And I was like, okay, I gotta move on.
That's a good run.
All right, Kevin, we're going to bring you back to your childhood. What posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
What posters?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't think any. Well, you know what? I think I had a poster of Pete Sampras.
Ooh, I like Pete.
Ball player. Yeah. Kevin Curry, if 3 of your closest friends were sitting at a table and you weren't in the room, what sort of things would they be saying about you?
They'd say Kevin is really sarcastic, but he's funny. They'd say Kevin is... Oh man, you probably say Kevin is pretty emo.
That's awesome.
Then they say Kevin loves to laugh.
Man, I use that hashtag emo kid all the time, man. I'm not playing. All the time.
I can be Drake emo.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, Kevin, final question. You're going to be hosting a private dinner party. I'm hoping you're not going to be cooking for this one, though. And you've got 5 invites, only rules. No family or friends, but it can be anyone, dead or alive. Who are you inviting?
Oh, man. Okay. 5 people. One's definitely got to be Barack Obama. I got to have him at the table. Another person would probably be, I forget his name, but he's the pastor of the Hillsong Church there in Melbourne. Third person. Oh man, this is the. I'd probably say Oprah. Another person I'd probably have there would be Malcolm Gladwell.
Outliers.
I like his books. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's 4 already, right?
Yeah, man.
And then I'd probably, the fifth one would probably have to be like my, like a pastor. So I had to do a cross between either Bishop Jakes or Joel Osteen.
Excellent.
Good selection. Before we let you leave, everyone follow Kevin online. You can find him at www.fitmancook.com. Across Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, he's Fitman Cook. Or check out his app on iTunes, Fitman Cook Healthy Recipes.
Kevin, man, we really appreciate you sitting by, stopping by. This was really fun, man. Thank you for sharing the space.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Johnny, Kevin Curry.
Yeah, man, that guy's energy is awesome, man. Dude, some of the questions we were throwing at him, I mean, he handled them excellent, man. You know, everything that's going on in the news, you know, your question of mental health, that was awesome him sharing that with us.
Yeah, I think that was a host of good questions, and I don't usually give us too much of a rap, but I think he really enjoyed that interview because sometimes you don't get to speak about those sort of issues and just even delve deep. Like I think he appreciated even looking back into his own past and, you know, even like something as simple as meal prep.
Yeah.
I don't think we properly have good questions about that, and it might be something that we continue to operate with, especially in this wellness space, is how do people prepare their meals? How long, how far, what works for some people. You know, it's not always going to work for you, but it's great to give great perspective on what everyone's doing.
For sure. And then, you know, on the contrary to the specificity of the meal prepping, but like for the instance of we sit down with these people for, we only get 45 minutes. And more often than not, we're getting the best version of them, of who they are, who their brand is. But with Kevin, with this one, you get it. You get pretty quickly. You understand that this is who he is. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, if we sit down with a Fortune 500 CEO or a multimillionaire, you're getting the suit.
Yeah.
You get, you know what I'm saying? You're not getting the cooler talk.
You don't get the real guy.
Yeah. With Kevin, why, you know, you guys listening, you probably got the gist of that while we were having fun, is that it was one of these interviews that, you know, we got who he is, and that makes it very enjoyable.
Yeah. And it's great to see that he's still the same guy that he was on day one. And I think that's why his videos still resonate so well, is the fact that he was that guy with struggles, and he's just using what he's learned to help other people. And it just comes across, and he does it in a really simple way, but professional. And it's full credit to Kevin, man. He's killing it.
I loved your question about his first post, because I swear I'm going to go look at mine when he, that's a great, like, think about, I'm pretty interested in seeing, like, what your first post was on Insta or Facebook. His was on oatmeal, you know, like, it's important to sit back and reflect. It's also important. It's so hard for us, I think, to soak it all in when you're constantly trying to further develop. Kevin's always changing the game. He just gave us two bombshell announcements with the future plans, what's happening with his brand. So it's probably hard for him to sit in that space. So, you know, that's another good quality of, like, being able to interview these people and then him give us so much.
Yeah, it's actually a great point you just bring up. And sometimes Facebook actually throws it at you. I'm not sure if you see that.
I got it today. I posted one 7 years ago. Yeah.
And you go, oh, my God, did I really say that?
I like those, though. Like, today Facebook did one of me, Banks, and Eddie, and Dre, and Myrtle Beach when we were 19.
Even what we wear, man. Can you imagine? Can you, like, at the moment we're a lot tighter sort of clothes and things like that.
Mm, yeah, body fit.
Mate, in about 10 years' time, we're probably going to be laughing about what we wore. It's funny how much time just kind of evolves quickly. And you go, wow, you remember those days when we were wearing, like, baggy jeans and baggy shoes? We used to think it was so cool. Even, like, a suit, everyone's suit was baggy. Now it's all fit, like, yeah, fit to the...
Everything's, like, tailored. But, yeah, the photo that was Facebook posted of me, I had an eye piercing, a shell necklace, rings on. I looked awful. It was terrible. It's so funny.
But yeah, I had a shark. Last one I saw, I had a shark tooth necklace or something.
Oh, my God. Yes, dude. I think I had my left pinky black fingernail painted. It got real emo.
Wow.
Oh, dude, no comment. Yeah, buddy. That's pretty cool. I see your face over there. Say it.
I want to see this picture.
Go to my Facebook. It's awesome. The boys are all commenting on it. It's like, what were we thinking?
Oh, crazy.
You got to sit and reflect.
Guys, we really hope you enjoyed that episode. Please tag us on any post on social media. Share it with your family and friends. That's the best way you can help us grow, you know, for our message to get over to more people, you know. That's exactly what we're here for. So please do it. Johnny, where can they tag you?
Yeah, guys. Well, tag the show, the Vision Board Podcast. Follow me, Johnny Stofko, on all socials. I'd love for you right now to go to my YouTube channel, Johnny Stofko, and subscribe. How about you?
I'm Tristan Cannell Fitness, or Tristan Cannell across all my social medias. So like I said, please tag us on any post. Share it with your family and friends. Remember to subscribe on iTunes. And if you can, please leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, Tristan, before I let you go, you posted the your latest blog, like the things I learned. Where are they finding that? Is that going on our vision board page?
That's just on the Tristan Cannell Fitness website. So
there you go, man.
It's just a bit of a
lot of value.
A recap of what happens in the episode. Some people don't have the time to actually listen, but if you want to get the main points from it and then maybe explore after, yeah, just log on to the website.
There you go.
Tristan Cannell Fitness, or probably the better way to do it is I've been sharing it on the email. So just subscribe to the actual email newsletter on the vision board page, and you also get that ebook that we always talk about during the show. So
there you go.
It's a great value, that ebook. It's free. You get all the best quotes from, you know, some absolute legends across business, wellness, fitness, sports. It's just like, it's a free ebook. So just download and you'll get on our newsletter. Get our stuff first.
There you go. Just because when the microphone shut off, that doesn't mean we do. Stay connected with us, people.
Yeah, for sure. Guys, we've got some great shows coming up. We've got, actually at the moment, we're tackling a lot of nutrition stuff. So we've had to reschedule an interview with Chris Algieri, who's a sports nutritionist. He's also a world champion boxer and kickboxer, but he'll be back in a couple of weeks. But he is also a sports nutritionist of the ISSN. And we've actually got the founder on next. So that's going to be interesting.
Dr. Jose Antonio.
So interesting interview. So stay tuned for that. If you've got any nutrition-based questions, that's probably an easier way for you guys to get involved. Please send through any of your struggles or any questions that you've got specifically, because these are the guys that you want to be answering these questions.
Yeah, all you coaches out there, heed TK's advice. Get involved. International ISSN Sports Science Nutrition.
Yeah, and he's the chairman, CEO, founder.
He runs the whole show, man. Our boy, shout out Dr. Corey Peacock. He's been talking about Jose since, what, episode 7, something like
yeah.
that? Yeah. Yeah, man, get involved, guys.
Yeah, you don't want to miss this one. So we'll check you soon, guys.
Peace.
Peace. Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching a niche, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and, you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.